You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
And so if you get in your Bibles, John 15, verse 7 and 8. John 15, 7 and 8. Just to recap, we've been looking at this topic, faithful to be fruitful. And so is that in the way of the screen?
Yeah.
It is. Okay, let me move that back then. Can you see now?
Yeah.
Amen. And you can see. Praise God. See, I'm just a helpful pastor, man. We've been looking at this series, Faithful to be Fruitful, and we've been talking about producing fruit, our life being productive. And we said, and I know I've been saying this, but I need to repeat this, three areas where we want to see fruit. We want to see fruit in our lives. We want to be more like Jesus. We want to be more patient, more loving, more kind, more forgiving. We want to be more like Christ. That's what we want in our lives, more faithful. These are the things that we want. We don't just want to be talking about calling ourselves a Christian, but at the end of the day, we're not growing more faithful in that. Not only that do we want in our own life, but we want faithfulness in kingdom faithfulness, seeing people saved from our lives, our ministry, seeing people impacted for Christ, discipling people. All of these things, there's many churches that are spending thousands of pounds a year on ministries, on conventions, on Sunday school, on men's meetings, women's meetings, and at the end of the year, they have very few people saved, very few disciples made. Really and truly, they're just making just functions, doing things. We do not want to just fill our calendar with things. How many know that? Oh yeah, Monday we do this, Wednesday we do this, Sunday we do that, and once a month we have a concert, then we go on impact teams. And so we're busy doing, but we're not actually seeing any fruit. We do because we want to see fruit. And so there's fruit, the spirit fruit in the kingdom. And then our own lives producing fruit. Your job, your career, your education. It's no good you going to study a course and you come out with nothing. I mean, that's a waste of time. Now, and those that know me, you know, I didn't, I don't have formal education. I didn't get saved till I was 22. And before that, I was doing a madness. And so I'm not saying that you have to go to school and get degrees and all of that. That's not for everybody. But if you're there doing it, you need to come out with something. Don't waste your time. The job you're in, you need to be in a job. You spend most of your time at your job. Did you know that? Most of your time at your job, and people are at a job and they've been there for years and they hate it. And some of you, maybe you've been in this predicament. Listen, maybe this year God needs to birth some fruit in you, that you will start to do something. You say, you know what? I love this job. There's a guy called John Maxwell. I'm not sure if he made up the phrase, but I remember hearing him. He says, find something to do that you love to do. Find a job that you love to do, and you will never work another day in your life. You know what it means? It's because this is what I want to do. This is what I was meant to do. This is what I was built to do. This is what I can do. And some people think, oh, that's a fantasy. You can never have that. No, I'm not saying that it's never going to feel work and it's never going to be take tax into you. It's never going to be strenuous. It's never going to be a burden. No, those things are part and parcel of life. But I want to say is that I don't want to be wasting my time. I want to be fruitful, producing something in my life. You can be fruitful this year. If you're alive here today, you can be fruitful. In all these areas, you can be fruitful this year. And not only can you can be fruitful this year, you can produce so much fruit this year that people are going to know there is a God. Yes. I'm talking about you reproduce, you produce, your life is so fruitful in the areas of Christ-likeness, in the areas of kingdom fruit, in the areas of your day-to-day life, that you've produced so much fruit that people will know there's a God. Look at the fruit that that person's producing. Look at their life. Look at the testimony of what's going on in their life. That's how it should be for the Christian. That when people see our lives, they should say, there's a God in heaven, man. They should be able to look at us, and people, even if they don't understand everything, they should say, what's going on? And we say, this is God. There's a God in heaven. There's a God who designed us and made us. We can have that. Let's read the scripture. John 15 verse 7 and 8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. How many like that? Yes. How many like this? Look, turn to someone and say, I like that. Yes. Amen. I like it a lot. Verse 8. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. Say much fruit. Yeah, I like that one as well. So you will be my disciples. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing. Father, I pray for a supernatural spiritual transaction today. I pray, Father, all that we've gone into over the last few weeks, Father, that it would be solidified, that it would change our posture towards you and towards life. I pray that today, Father, something would awaken within us. Faith through your word. I pray, Father, that you would touch our hearts. That our hearts would be good ground to receive your word. I come against doubt and fear. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would just depend upon you. We are desperate for you. And we ask you to glorify your Son, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
amen.
In this scripture, the first thing that we see is the word, what? If. Say it again.
If.
Now, this is a little word that we can overlook. This is, it can almost seem insignificant word by itself, if. Tiny little word, two-letter word. But this word, in the beginning of this sentence, from the Bible, from the Word of God, actually tells us a lot of things. I want to say the first thing that if tells us, that when we look at this if, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, that if is telling us what God is willing to do in your life. It's telling you what God is willing to do. He says, if you do this, I will do this. He's showing you what he's willing to do. You may think, oh, what does that mean? This is massive. Because too many times we doubt God's willingness to bless us. God is willing that you would be fruitful. Actually, God's will is that you would be fruitful. He says, if you will do this, then I will do that. God is showing you, listen, I'm willing. Too many times we come to God and we're like, we're begging him, please, 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 please. Why? We don't need to posture ourselves when God has already showed us he's willing. If you said to me, Pastor, could I speak to you after the service? And I said, yeah, no problem. No, please, please, Pastor, can I speak to you after? Yes, yeah, that's no problem. Pastor, can I please, please, please speak to me? I need to speak to you after this. Said, yes, that's fine. I am going to speak to you after the service. How many of it would be nuts if you just keep going on? But that's how we behave with God. God has already shown us. If he's already shown us, I'm willing that you would be fruitful. It's my will that you would be fruitful. This is the first thing that we see in the if. The second thing we see in the if is that it's telling us what is available for us. What is available for us? He said, if you do this, then I will do that. If you do this, this is available for you. Not only is God willing to make us fruitful, he's also saying it's available for you. It's available for you. You can be fruitful. I don't care where you've come from, what anybody has said to you, what your experience has been, you can be fruitful. It's available to you. You ever gone somewhere or gone online or gone to a shop and seen something and then you go back for it and it's out of stock? And they'll be like, it's not available anymore. It's not available anymore. Oh, it's not available in your size. That's even worse than every other size. The Bible is saying, listen, it's available to you. It's available. If you will do this, then you can have this. It's available to you. The third thing, though, and this is where I say the but, it doesn't mean it's guaranteed. If doesn't mean it's guaranteed. Now, let's think about what I've just said there, because, you know, this is, what am I saying? I'm saying that the if shows us that God is willing that we would be fruitful. He's willing to make us fruitful, give us fruit. He's saying that fruitful is accessible to us, so you can be fruitful. But when we say if, we're saying it's not guaranteed. Let me give you an example of this. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Again, it starts with, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and heal their land. When God is saying this, God is showing them, he says, if my people will do this, if they will humble themselves, if they will do that, then I will do this. But what God is not saying is, I'm going to do it no matter what you do. See, it's not guaranteed that God is just going to do it no matter what you do. See, many people, they look at God's intentions and that God is willing to do it, so he's going to do it. No, he's saying, if you do what I say for you to do, then I will do it. But if you don't, then I won't. See, the door of fruitfulness is open to every single believer. Let me say that again. The door of fruitfulness. You can just walk through a door and that fruitfulness is open to you. God is showing us, this is a promise of God. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. It's a promise. It's so simple. It is ridiculously simple. We looked at the abiding. And over the last three sessions, let me break it down into three C's. The three sermons I preached before. The first one we preached that Christ was the vine. Amen? So that's Christ. It was all about Christ, dwelling Christ. The second one was the purging, is the cutting off. Remember we dealt with that? So the second one is the cutting. See, the first one was Christ. Second one, God needs to cut some things off. Last week, the third one was being connected. And so we must realize that Christ is the source. We must allow him to cut anything off us that is not him. And we must remain connected. That's what it means to abide. But we also spoke last week about him abiding in us. And if you would really, when I read the Bible, I like it to be that I need to understand what it means. Like, what do I need to do? And as you're reading the scripture, you're thinking, it says, Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. And I'm like, how does he get in me though? Have you ever thought, did you ever read, how do I get him in me? Well, the Bible always interprets the Bible for us. If you're ever confused about the Bible, just keep reading. Read what's before it, read what's after it. Read the other places where it's in the Bible. It will reveal everything to you. In our text, Jesus says, abide in me and my words abide in you. You read that? This is how Christ abides in us. It's his word. Look at someone and say, word. No, you gotta say word. Yeah, I like that. Amen. We may use that one again, so save that one. God is showing us here how he abides in us is through his word. That's how he abides in us. It's not some sort of like you've got to eat the Bible and or do something or go somewhere. No, it's his word. The key to fruitfulness is the word of God. The key to fruitfulness is having the word of God in you. Why is that? Because the word of God has the power to produce. It's the word of God which is the seed that produces anything in all of existence. Everything we see and everything we can touch and everything we can taste and everything we can hear all originated from the word of God. It didn't originate from a bang. It didn't originate from a pool of a single cell organism. It originated, as you go back and back and back, it originated with the word of God. See, the word of God is the power to produce. And if we're going to be fruitful this year, we got to take the word of God serious. You got to get serious about the word. Look at someone say, get serious. Listen, you got to get serious about the word. Let me show you here. The beginning. What does it say? Genesis 1 verse 3. Then God
said.
That was a good one, but let's practice. Then God
said,
let there be light. And there was light. God spoke. God's word produced everything. And think about this now. God's word produced the sun. He said, let there be light, and then we have a sun. Do you understand? Well, I know you understand anyway, but do you understand that the sun is what gives everything in on the planet that we inhabit? The sun is what gives it energy. The sun is the center of our solar system. The sun is what gives us all our energy. It comes from the sun. And God just said, let there be light. And then the sun is produced from the word of God. And now we get all our energy from a word that God spoke.
Amen.
Because the word of God can produce. Hebrews 11, 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. He says, by faith, the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. He's saying that things that we see right now, everything that we can observe, was not made by something which is revealing itself in the physical. He's saying everything that we can observe, that mankind can observe, was not made by anything that can be observed. I know that sounds confusing, but that's what he's saying. Because what he's saying is, everything was put together, framed, fitted together by the word of God. See, it's the word of God that produces. See, if you're going to get serious about fruit this year, and you're saying, look, God, I want to be fruitful, you've got to get serious about the word. This is where the power is. This is where so many Christians should we say neglect the word and understand, don't understand why they're not producing. They want to be fruitful. The word of God packs power. It can do anything. We see in Jesus, John 11, 43. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he came, and he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. Jesus speaks a word, and that which is dead comes alive. Jesus speaks. We see this. See, Matthew 13 describes this so clearly in a parable, and paints a metaphor of what really the word of God is. The word of God is like a seed. Matthew 13, 23, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. Who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. The Bible, Jesus just breaks it down for us, just in case we was getting it misunderstood and we didn't know what was going on. Jesus says, listen, let me break it down to you. The word is like a seed. When you see a seed, you put it in the ground, it grows. The life is in the seed. The seed may look insignificant, the seed may not look big, but there's life in that seed. And as we plant the word of God in you, it starts to produce fruit. And it's the word of God. If there's no seed, you could have the best field, you could have the biggest crop, you could have the biggest area, space, whatever it is. You could have all the nicest farm equipment and the strongest men to do whatever they're going to do. But without any seeds, nothing will grow. Without any seeds, nothing will grow. And the Bible is showing us, listen, it's the word of God. Talking about fruitfulness can be a little bit frustrating. See, we've been doing this for like 5 weeks now, talking about fruit. And if we're honest, sometimes it can be a bit frustrating when we're talking about, you know, you need to be bearing fruit. Where's your fruit? I mean, look, sometimes it can be a bit convicting. It's like, we should be bearing fruit. Amen, Pastor. But you look at your life and like, huh. It can be discouraging. Where is my fruit? Why am I not bearing fruit? Well, in the parable I was speaking about in Matthew 13, Jesus kind of reveals something about the dynamics of the seed and the word. Excuse me. What he says is this. He gives a parable and he says that the seed is thrown out and it hits four different grounds. Now I read, when I spoke about the seed hitting good ground, that's like one of them. That's one of the grounds. But there's another three. There's another three grounds. And Jesus explains. And what he says is, he says one of the seed goes on what he calls the wayside. And so if you imagine, you have a field over here, and in the middle you've got like the pavement. And the wayside is basically, the seed is falling on the pavement. Nothing's going to happen with that seed. It needed to be into the field. This is on the wayside. This is something that's ready. It's not going into the ground. It's not where it should be. And Jesus says what happens is the birds of the air come, they fly, and they see the seed just sitting there doing nothing, and they pick it up and they fly, they take it away. And Jesus said that's one type. He said there's another type which the seed goes in, but it has no root. It goes on the ground, but it grows up quick, but it actually has no roots underneath. And it says when the sun comes out, when the environment starts to hit it, it dies because it has no roots. And a third one he mentions, he says that there's a seed that goes in the ground, but it goes in the ground where there are other weeds. And those weeds grow with it and they start to choke it. And as they choke that, amen, man of God. Yeah, because he saw I was choking. And so, as it goes in the ground, the weeds start to choke it. As I was reading that this week, what it really reveals to us is this, is that the reason why we battle so much with fruitfulness, church, is that there are obstacles that will attack the word of God in our life. What Jesus is saying is, listen, four types of seed goes out. Well, one, the seed goes to four different places, and three of them have obstacles. Three of them have obstacles. That means that you could be sitting in the house of God. You could be sitting under the preaching of the word. It's going out, but there are obstacles to the word of God. There are obstructions. The enemy attacks the word. You know why many Christians are not fruitful? Because before the word has ever gone in and grown and allowed time to produce fruit, the enemy attacked it when it was the word, when it was the seed.
That's right.
The enemy attacks you at the very beginning.
That's right.
The enemy wants to attack it. This is what Jesus is saying. The word didn't even really get into them and bear fruit. He doesn't give a parable saying, oh, you know what, the seed went in and then they grew up big and strong and then there were fruit and someone come and nicked the fruit. In this parable, he says, no, listen, what I do is I throw the seed out. And when it's at that seed level, the beginning, the very beginning, think about it now. Where do we see the devil reveal himself? The first time we see the devil reveal himself is in what book of the Bible? Genesis. The word Genesis means beginning. What we understand is the devil's mode of attack is at the beginning. He always wants to attack at the beginning, before you get some momentum, before things start growing, before there is real fruit. He wants to attack you at the beginning. This is why when people first get saved, the enemy is going to throw everything at you.
Yes.
You start to come to church, you say, yeah, this is good, this is what I want. He's going to throw everything at you to try and stop you. This is why when you're following up on somebody, meaning when you're encouraging them to take those baby steps, you need to be drenching them in prayer. You need to be praying for them. You need to be trying your best, calling them and encouraging them. And just so one time they don't answer the phone, oh, forget it. No, we understand the devil will attack them. He wants to get it from the beginning. You got to keep calling and calling and calling and visiting and visiting and texting and texting and praying and praying. And when they say, listen, leave me alone, say one more time. Because maybe they just got demon possessed that day. Because the devil wants wants to attack at the beginning. And some of you right now, before you even got your feet together, you ever seen one of the wildlife programs and you see like a little deer and it's born and it came out, the mother, and it's standing and its legs are wibbling and wobbling and all of that stuff, and it's, it can barely stand up and it's falling down. And that's when the devil wants to strike on us. But what you see in the wildlife, that's when the older animals come around, or something like that, they come around. We've got to understand the devil attacks at Genesis. Before the word of God is getting in you. Can I say to you today, when you sit in church, many of us, when we're in the house of God, sitting in church, we are involved in spiritual warfare. Some of you right now are involved in spiritual warfare. Even right now as I'm sitting here. I'm throwing the word out. And the Bible says in our first, in the first story, Jesus says, listen, it went on the wayside. It says those that hear the word but didn't understand it. They didn't understand it. What it means is they couldn't receive it. They're not receiving the word of God. They're not understanding it. And it says, you know what it does? The devil comes and he snatches anything that you hear from the word of God. If you're not in taking it, the devil will just steal it. Listen, we could ask some people, some of you tomorrow, hey, what did Pastor preach yesterday? No, don't tell me. It's something about Jesus, yeah. And he read from the Bible, yeah. So you can't, you know, this is why many times we try our best to create an atmosphere where there's no distraction in the service. Because listen, this is spiritual warfare. This is why the devil loves to distract the service. This is why you should turn off your phone. Turn off your phone before you come into the service. Because I realize we're preaching and we're about to get to the apex. I'm like, and the Bible says, everyone looks around and you said it and, it be, and the whole thing is lost. Because the devil wants to distract the service. This is why I hate people distracting when I'm in church. When I'm sitting down, I remember going to a conference and someone, I was sitting here, my wife was sitting there, someone was sitting next to my wife. They were just talking the whole time. Talking. Pastor Peter's preaching. I'm like, my days, I'm getting convicted. I'm getting the spirit here. I'm feeling God. Talking. I'd say, whoa. Why do you keep talking? Stop talking. Or go out, do something. Why are you talking here? This is not talking time. This is listening time. Talking. You ever been in church and people are on their phone? Yes. I mean, no, it's distracting. Yes. I'm trying to hear from God. You're distracting me, devil. On their phone, looking at WhatsApp, looking at Instagram. Showing it to other people. Like, did you see that? I'm sitting there, I'm slapping that thing, man. Get that thing out. This is the house of God. People are going on the internet, paying their bills. Looking at dresses. Topshop website. What do you think about that? No, what do you think about the word of God? What do you think about? The worst thing is this. You're sitting next to somebody and then they keep talking to you. Did you see this? And then people laugh and they say, what did he say? I don't know. Because you were talking to me. If you weren't talking, you would have known what he said. You wouldn't have to ask me. See, the devil always wants to distract you from the word of God. The Bible says that there was a seed. The seed goes in and it goes with no roots. It says it springs up quickly. Matthew 13:20. But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. This is people that come into church and they hear the word and they see the church and they get all excited. Oh yeah, I love this church. I love God. I love everything. I love that. Yeah, okay, that's good. I'm glad. But you better go home and start building some roots. You better go home and start reading your Bible. I've told you many times, I do not want people walking around Wandsworth saying, pastor said. No. What we say here is the Bible says. It's what the Bible says. this is what it's about. It's what the you can only go so far. Listen, you can come here for a while and just hear sermons and it will feed you, but you've got to get to a point where you need to grow beyond that. Yes. Where you start going into the Word of God, feeding yourself. You need to start getting some roots.
Yeah. Come on.
Because the Bible says it's going to come a time when there's going to be some tribulation and persecution. Some, you're going to go through something. People come to church. Oh, I love this. I love this. Yeah, yeah, this is great. And it's rah, rah, rah. This is wonderful. And then tribulation comes. Maybe they get sick. Maybe they lose a job. Maybe they go through a tough time in their marriage or with their children. Now, I'm not sure. Not sure anymore. Because you've got no roots. Maybe persecution comes. People start speaking against you. Mocking you. Oh, you're a Christian. Bible basher. People start speaking about Christ. Speaking about the church. Speaking about the pastor. Speaking about the leader. Speaking about anybody. And you fizzle out because you've got no roots. Because you was just going along with the hype. See, the devil always wants to attack the word. This is what he doesn't want in our lives. This is why he'll do everything to move you out of any place where the word of God is being preached. Third one, among thorns. Jesus says they're sold among thorns. And what he says is that the seed goes in and it's among weeds, thorns. And what Jesus says those are the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for things, entering and choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. When you come into the house of God, how many of we all got to pay bills? We all got to live up in here. We've all got lives. There's no one here that's just like walking on, oh no, everybody's got bills. Everybody's got to deal with issues. The problem is some of you here, you've allowed those issues to cloud your mind. Those issues are now bigger than the word of God. And they're choking the word of God. They're choking the word of God. Meaning that you're getting the word of God, but those issues are strangling it. They've got their hands around the word of God. And you no longer can hear the word of God in your life. Because you're worried about the cares of this world. What am I going to? Some of you, even as you're sitting here listening to the preaching, you're thinking about bills. How am I going to pay this? And it's legitimate. You're struggling. How am I going to do this? How am I going to pay this? How am I going to go there? You're worried about relationship. What's going to happen in this relationship? Is this going to happen? Is that going to... You're thinking about these things. And it's choking the word of God out of your life. He says, when these cares have become over you. See, Jesus is showing us, if you want to bear fruit, it all comes down to the word of God. And when we say the word, we're talking about his doctrine, his commandments. See, this is what it means to abide in Christ. Because really, where do we go to live in Christ? What geographical location can we go? Jesus says, if you abide in me, you'll be fruitful. We want to be fruitful. How do I abide in him? You abide in him by obeying his word.
Yes.
You abide in him by obeying his word. It's very simple. As you obey his word, you're abiding in him. In your marriage, obey his word.
Yes.
Obey his word in your marriage. In your finances, obey his word. In your relationship, in your purity. Listen, single people.
Come on.
Remain pure, remain holy. This is how you're abiding in his word. You can't be flirting yourself out and then say, yeah, I want to be fruitful. No, you're going to be bearing a different type of fruit. You're going to be breeding some different type of fruit. Abiding is obeying. You know what I love about this scripture, and this is what we really need to hit home on. He does say, you will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. Jesus says, if you keep the word in you, you will bring forth fruit. If you will keep the word of God in you, if you will obey the word of God, if you will live by the word of God, it will bear fruit in you. Jesus will always bear fruit. This is not a defective seed. This is not a fruitless seed. This is not a sterile seed. This is a seed which packs much life in it. This is super seed. We've already established, think of it. God says, let there be light. And all of this power is produced. What could God just speak into your life today?
Amen.
What could he just speak over your life today? And your life is just changed. You become a source of fruitfulness flowing through your life. Not just coming to church, not just going through the motions, not just becoming religious, not just giving yourself to a routine, not just having, not that the church is a religious social club, but having transformation. Imagine when God speaks out of nothing, everything comes. It changes the whole dynamics. This is what it is about being a Christian. If we keep the word in us, he's going to give us the desires of our heart. His word will bring forth fruit. His word, can I say to you today, I'm pressing the point. His word, if you will read his word, keep his word, meditate on his word, pray his word, learn it, memorize it. Speak it in every situation and circumstance over your life.
Yes, amen.
I don't understand when I listen to Christians and they're speaking carnality, they're speaking fear, they're speaking doubt, they're speaking it's not going to work, they're speaking hopelessness, they're speaking discouragement, they're speaking all of these negative things. Yes. Nothing will be created, nothing will be produced. We need to understand it's the word that leads to the quality of life. And many people, they don't evaluate. Let me push this a bit further. Before you get into a relationship with somebody, listen to what they speak. Especially women in this place. You better listen to what that brother's saying. You're looking at his lips. Look at his lips. Look at his shoulders. Look at his muscles. Look at his car. Yeah. Soon those lips will be saying some madness to you. What is he saying? Does he speak the word of God? Because you're going to be living what he's speaking.
That's right.
You're going to be living under what he's speaking. What does she speak, bro? What does she speak? You better listen to how she speaks. Because, listen, women can speak. Sorry, sisters. I know I'm switching him off. Now that can fall on wayside. Listen, women can speak. You better make sure that she's full of the word of God. When she's speaking to you, there's the word of God coming out of her. Otherwise, she's going to be dealing with you. The word of God, nothing can stop it. Nothing can stand in its way. There is no obstacle. The word of God, there is nothing so deep that it can't get under it. There's nothing too high, it cannot get over it or get around it. The word of God is unstoppable. It's unstoppable. This is the secret here. This is the power. The word of God. This is why the devil tries to keep you away from it. This is why as soon as you open your Bible, you feel like falling asleep. It's demonic. It's a spirit. You can read one chapter. But if we gave you a magazine, go on the internet, you can read for weeks. You can, you know, you could give you your phone. You can look at for an hour people's WhatsApp pictures, yeah. And go back and look at it again. You saw it yesterday. They haven't changed it. Why are you looking at it again? for hours, and then you pick up your Bible for 10 seconds. Oh, no, the Bible says he gives his beloved rest. Because listen, the devil knows that's where the power is. If you was my enemy and I thought you was going to find out where the power is, I'd do everything that you don't get it. Too many Christians are guns without bullets. Clicking the trigger. Click, 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 click. That was like, yeah, click all you want. Click all you want. You better put some bullets in that gun, because this is what it is. People are praying, and your prayers are like a gun with no bullets, because you ain't got the word of God in you. Praying back the word of God to God and asking, and Jesus says, if you ask me, whatever you desire, I will do it. It will be done. It will be accomplished. Even as I'm speaking it, there are some of you here, it can't be that simple. It can't be like that. I've never seen it like that, because the word, if you neglect the word, if I neglect the word, we've got to stand and trust his word. Isaiah 55 verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. You know what he's saying? God says when he speaks his word will not go out. Yeah, I couldn't do anything. That's it. Come back to him. Nah, I didn't do anything. I just did nothing. Nah, that was it. That's void. Void. Did nothing. When God's word goes out, it will go out. Boof. Deal with the devil. Fix. Accomplish. Make something grow. Do something. Doesn't come back to him. Doesn't come back to him. This is what the Bible is saying. His word does not come back to him forward. Listen, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. His word has power. God wants to give you the desires of your heart. Oh, no, 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 no. You didn't hear me. God wants to give you the... I've got some desires. Look at someone say, I've got some desires. Yeah, you look... Listen to what it says. Psalms 37, verse 4. And we're going to close. We're going to finish. We're going to pray. We're going to believe God. Psalms 34, verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. Now, I had to look at that this week. What is that? What does it mean to delight? I had to delight yourself. The word means to refresh. It says, refresh yourself in the Lord. Refresh. It says, this is mad. Enjoyment. That's what the word means. To enjoy the Lord. Spend some time with God and his word and enjoy it. Not enjoy, enjoy. This is what he says. If you start to refresh yourself, to take pleasure. Oh, this is mad. Spoil yourself. That's what the word means. Jesus says, spoil yourself with me. Come on, there's a whole lot of me. You can have more of me. Spend some time with me. The word means pamper. Now, Tuesday, really, as men, we don't really pamper. We don't really deal with that word. Like, what are you doing, bro? I'm just pampering myself. No, don't sound righteous. But you ladies, you know what that means to pamper yourself. You understand what that means. And so the Bible is saying is that we need to bathe our spirit in the word of God. Bathe yourself, submerge yourself. Imagine when I was a kid, I would go into the bath, because you know when you're a little kid, you could go in the bath and it feels deep. And so I'd be in the bath and I'd love the bath to be full up to the brim. I hated it when it was just little, but I want it full. So I'm going in there playing with toys, doing everything. And there were times when I like to put my hand under the water, and so you can hear things going on. You put your hand under the water and all you can hear is muffled. So if I was talking about, hey you, and he put on, how many ever done that? Yeah. Are you going to swim a pool or something like that? It's muffled because you've submerged yourself. What we need to do is submerge ourselves into the word of God. See, there's too many people, the circumstances, the situations, the problems, the stresses of life are clear cut. It's like high definition speaking to you. It won't work. It never works. You look at you. Who do you think you are? You need to say, listen, I'm not listening. I'm going to submerge myself in the word of God. And all I can hear is, sorry, what did you say? I didn't hear I'm submerging myself in the word of God. I'm delighting myself. I'm spoiling myself. I'm pleasuring myself. I'm pampering. Yeah, I'm pampering myself in the word of God. Amen. I'm enjoying God. Amen. I enjoy that I'm saved. I enjoy coming to church. I enjoy worshiping. Listen, if you come to church today and you don't enjoy it, we'll pray for you. Because he said, if you do that, he says, then I'm going to start to give you the desires of your heart. Amen. Then I'll give you the desires of your heart. Let me say this, love God, he'll give you anything you want. Yeah. Because if you love God, you wouldn't ask God for foolishness. Love God, he'll give you anything you want. Be filled with God. Ask for anything you want. Listen, sister, if you was filled with God, you wouldn't want that guy at your workplace who's not saved. So if I love God, I can ask, I want him. The only reason you want him, because you're thirsty and hungry for man. Yeah. Once you're full of God, I've said the illustration before. If you've been to one of the top restaurants in London, one of the restaurants where you have first course, second course, third course, fourth course, fifth course, sixth course. Holy but knife and fork going backward and forward. What is this? And you go in there and you have the best of the best of the best of the best. And as you come out, you couldn't eat no more. You're full to the brim. And you see a little beggar on the street with a half-eaten McDonald's burger and snot is over his nose and he's giving it to you. Would you like it? What? Are you nuts? I'm full. This is what the devil is offering people. Scraps. Scraps. But the problem is many Christians are starving. Because listen, if you were starving, if we locked you in a cage, if you was without food and water for days and then we let you out, we loose you on the streets and you saw that same burger with the same little trampy guy, you'd be like, give it to me. And if you said, no, get it out of his hand, it's filthy. Get it out. And as we tried to take it away from you, this will make you sick. You'd be like, no, give it back to me. That's what people do with God. God's like, he's going to make you sick. She's going to make you sick. That's going to make you sick. No, no. You need to be filled with God and you will let go of anything that is not right for your life because the word of God has made you full. This is what we need to do, church, to be fruitful this year. We need to rest and trust in the Lord to work things out. I read the whole of Psalms 37 yesterday. I don't like to just pick a scripture out and just read it and then not fully understand the full weight and ramifications of it. And four, I read, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you desires of your heart. I've read that many times. But just after that, listen to what it says. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. Commit, whatever you're doing right now, give it to God. Say, God, you lead it. He says, trust him. See, for me to commit something to you, I've got to trust you. Okay, God. I'm going to let you sort out this marriage. I'm going to trust you. Okay, God, you sort out this family. I'm going to trust you. God, I'm going to give you my singleness. I'm going to trust you. Yeah. You're going to find me somebody. You're going to show me the right person. God, I'm going to trust you with my career. I'm going to trust you. Because the devil is saying, listen, if you don't do this and you don't do that, you're going to end up busted, you're going to end up alone, you're going to end up broke, you're going to end up with nothing, you're going to end up, people are going to use you and abuse you. Then he says in verse 6, he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret. Because of him who prospers in his way. Because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. He's saying, you may see things around you and you see people doing things and going on with things. He says, don't be scared of that. That's not going to last for long. He says, cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. You're getting angry and upset and fretting over circumstances and situations. He says, that's only going to cause you harm. Do not do that. Trust in me. Believe in me. I'm working. But I see what they're doing to me. I see what is going on. I see they're going to. He says, listen, don't worry about that. This is because he says, for evildoers shall be cut off. Those that do evil against you, God will deal with them. But those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. For a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. People that are doing wickedness right now, and it seems like it's prospering, and you want to get dragged out of your position, you want to go in the flesh, you want to forsake the word. He says, no, people that are doing wickedness right now, he says, they're short-lived. The time will come when you will look for them carefully. Hey, where are they now? And you will not find them. We need to trust in the word. We need to stand in the word. We need to be faithful to the word to allow the word to be fruitful in our lives. We cannot bear fruit. We can't. You can't do it. Some of you have come to that place. I can't do this. It's too hard. You've come to the place of reality. It is too hard. But as you put the word in you and you are faithful to that word, this year, God guarantees, you shall be fruitful in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give Jesus a clap offering of praise.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.